May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from these words from Mark chapter 11. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, here comes your king riding on in victory. The conquering king riding in on a valiant steed, a mighty chariot, a mule like King Solomon. No. A jackass, a donkey. Mark calls it a colt, but we know from the other Gospels and from Zechariah that it is indeed the colt of a donkey. And probably the donkey is a perfect image of how the world sees Jesus, how they see God, how they even see us Christians. It turns out that during Advent, our expectations about the king's coming are continually turned upside down. A king sleeping in a feeding trough? A poverty-stricken girl for a mother? A gang of disciples who are at best uneducated? And what kind of king rides into his victory celebration on a donkey? Is this the kind of God you're waiting for? A God who casts down the mighty from their thrones and exalts the lowly? Palm branches, cheers of the crowds, random coats and rags thrown in his way like a poor man's red carpet. A God who dies, a God who forgives blatant sinners. Could this be the Creator come to us? He chooses as his mount an unbroken colt. As he was tempted in the wilderness with the wild animals and returned unharmed, so now he sits atop a wild animal and it obeys its creator, allowing him to ride into Jerusalem. Is this really the Son of God? Is this the one at whose name every knee will bow? Dumb donkeys, or choose another word for donkey if you prefer, this is what the world sees. And yet, if he had come in power and majesty with angelic armies at his right hand and at his left, breathing fire, raining down thunder and lightning, and it was recorded in Scripture, they probably wouldn't believe that either. Abraham had it right in the parable. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe a man returned from the dead. Of course, that's exactly what happened. This king would die and would rise again, and yet many would not believe. In front of the cross, as he hung humiliated or seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, the mockery and the ignorance will always be the same. On the cross, as he hung humiliated or seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, our Lord's response will also always be the same. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God is absurd and God is ridiculous, but not as the result of some kind of divine idiocy, but rather in his divine mercy. It is a mercy so absurd, so lavish, that no human being can truly comprehend it. Paul refers to this wisdom of God as foolishness to the world. Christ is born of the Virgin Mary as a man, so that he does not frighten us men and women away from him, but rather so that he can invite and welcome us into his kingdom in a way that we can understand. He makes himself visible as a man, not because he is weak or ineffective, but so that through tenderness and mildness, he might persuade those who stood at the foot of his cross then and now of his love for them. He doesn't come in majestic robes, shouting commands or giving edicts. He doesn't come in anger or bearing wrath, but he comes on a donkey to be among the foolish of the world. Men and women who, like us, were so entangled in ignorance, in sin, and in despair that they themselves could not see the bars of the prison that they had locked themselves into. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. He comes as a man to forgive mankind, to restore Eden, to welcome us back to it. It would take a man on a donkey, a ridiculous man, who would make the claim in his clearly visible poverty and humanness to be the Son of God, and who would demonstrate the intimacy of God's redemption by welcoming a thief into paradise, and the breath of his mercy by saying to those who crucified him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It would take such a man to welcome back a child who had squandered his inheritance. It would take such a man to bind up a half-dead robbery victim on the side of the road. It would take such a man to give up all that he had to buy back your life. It would take such a strange man. I suppose it doesn't matter how he comes, on foot or on the back of a donkey. It doesn't matter where he might be, the cities or the countryside. It doesn't matter what Pharisees then and now have to say about him. The jeers from the crowd, the mockery of thieves is of no consequence to him. His only objective is you. He came in riding on a donkey for you. He was made man for you, who, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us. He redeems you. He comes in search of you. He restores you. It is you he welcomes back, you who were dead in your sins that he binds up. It is your life he buys back. It is you that he loves, you that he wants as a brother, a son, a daughter, a mother, a sister. It is you he restores. No one need hide. No one need be ashamed. No sin is too great for the mercy of his forgiveness and the love of his restoration. Advent, if nothing else, is the time of year for lifting up of body and souls in joyful anticipation of our King who comes again. He will not come again riding in on a donkey. He will not come again as a baby born in a manger, but with the blast of trumpets in glory and might to judge the nations, to judge the peoples. And as we wait for the return of our King, he sustains us with his very own body and blood shed for you and given to you in Holy Communion. And in just a moment, we will join those who hailed his arrival in Jerusalem as we sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it is in this Holy Supper that he comes again and again and again to give himself for you. It is there that he most perfectly gives himself to us, his body broken for you, his blood shed on the cross, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. A humble meal received in faith. This Jesus, our God made flesh, who came on a donkey, came to seek out the lost, came to welcome prodigals like you and I, came to heal the sick, came to find the wanderer wandering in the wilderness, who came to welcome a thief into paradise. He came to restore you to himself, and he comes to you again this day, a man on a donkey, a God, a king riding in on a donkey, who loves mankind, who loves you, a conquering Savior on a donkey who takes away your sin. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.